Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Have you been following along with our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? If you are, if you have been, and if you are a regular listener to the Beacon broadcast, you know that Paul has been dealing with the problem of divisions in the Corinthian church since chapter 1, and he's still dealing with it as we are coming down to the end of chapter 4. To Paul, that was a major problem, and it must be addressed. It must be corrected. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be allowed. It cannot be overlooked. It cannot be minimized. It is a very serious problem that needs to be addressed. And so in helping them to understand what they need to about this whole situation, Paul makes some clarifications in verses 14, 15, and 16, which we looked at on the broadcast yesterday and even on Friday. And basically what he's doing is helping them to understand the special relationship that he has with them above anybody else. Here were those who were saying, I'm of Paul, and others I'm of Apollos, and others I'm of Cephas. Well, it's well and good to learn from these men. They were faithful ministers of God's Word. They came and preached the Word of God. They helped people. They brought some people to saving faith in Christ through the ministry of the Word. Of course, the Holy Spirit of God doing the work. But in spite of all that, the church only had one father. They may have many preachers, many teachers, but one father. That's what Paul says in verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I have brought this church into existence. I planted a field where there was no gospel seed, and I planted the seed in the field. Now, others came along. Apollos watered. God gave the increase, but I planted. Apollos didn't plant. I laid the foundation as a wise master builder. Others build thereupon, but nobody else laid the foundation, but I did. Because that's the assignment that God gave to Paul. I mean, he's not, in one sense, he's not taking any glory from it, any credit for it, but he wants them to understand the nature of this relationship and to understand that God has established this relationship, and that makes certain demands upon them because Paul is their one and only father in the sense of being the father of the church. And fathers have position and fathers have authority. Fathers ought to be listened to more carefully than others. You might listen to other people who have advice for you in life, but you better pay careful attention to your father because he's your father. You listen to him more carefully, more respectfully than anybody else, at least you should. And fathers have authority. Others may have various authorities in your life, teachers at school, employers and so forth, policemen, obviously. But nobody has more authority than your father, particularly when you're still in the home. And so fathers need to be listened to, and fathers need to be obeyed. And Paul is saying, listen, you need to pay more attention to what I say, and you need to follow what I teach you. And if there comes any conflict, and as far as Paul was concerned, there was no conflict between he and Apollos and Cephas and others. Now there were false teachers that he does have conflict with, and he deals with them in a different category. But of those gospel preachers who are preaching the same gospel, who have ministered to you and helped you. Paul had no conflict with them, but some of them were making conflicts between different preachers, and Paul is saying, whoa, if there's anybody that the whole church needs to be listening to more than any others, it's me. And he's not saying that in prideful arrogance. He's just saying that to help them get over these divisions and to get over this carnality and to get established. So having said that, I pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, July 20 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I thank you for your financial gifts that make all this possible. Now, following the clarification of verses 14 through 16, Paul then introduces to them somebody they already knew, but he introduces to them his companion, a special companion, verse 17. For this reason, verse 16, he said, therefore I urge you to imitate me. Verse 17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. See, he wants them to listen to him. He wants them to imitate him. He wants them to follow him, but he's not there. He's probably in Ephesus when he's writing this First Corinthian epistle, and probably was in Philippi when he wrote the second one. So he's not there. He's planning to come. He announces a visit. It's clear from everything that is said all throughout the epistles and the book of Acts that Paul visited Corinth altogether three times. The first time, of course, when he planted the church, and then two more times thereafter. But when he's writing this, he's not there. And so, of course, when you're not there, you don't have quite the same impact as if you are there. But he says, I'm sending someone to represent me. Who? Timothy. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you. For what reason? Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Verse 16. Now verse 17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He is a beloved companion, a faithful companion, and Paul's child in the Lord. And again, he probably doesn't mean that in the sense of Timothy being a convert of his gospel ministry, that Timothy came to saving faith in Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That's not the picture we get when we read of Paul's first introduction to Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. If there is that kind of a spiritual father evangelistic result relationship with Paul and Timothy, it is not mentioned in Scripture, unless you take a reference like this one before us right now to mean that, but it doesn't have to mean that any more than when Paul said in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Does he mean that all of them had been saved through his ministry? That would be a contradiction of verse 5 of chapter 3. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, plural, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Paul isn't claiming to have led all of those people to the Lord in Corinth, but he claims that he has begotten the church. And when he talks about Timothy being my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, he's talking about his relationship with Timothy. He took Timothy under his wing. He took him along on his missionary journeys. Timothy became a helper, an assistant, and eventually became a very close partner, almost an equal to Paul, not quite, but he moved into that category as he grew and matured. And Paul could send him out to represent him. And that's what he's doing here. Now, at this time, Timothy is with Paul in Ephesus. But he's sending him to you. For this reason, it says, I have sent Timothy to you. And that could mean that I am sending, but it probably means he'd already sent him, but it takes a while to get there. Travel in those days wasn't instant. It took sometimes weeks. and I have sent him to you. He's out traveling. At this time, he's probably up north in Macedonia. That's the way they usually traveled from Ephesus, was Ephesus north to Troas, across the ocean, the Aegean Sea, from Troas to Philippi, and then Philippi down through Thessalonica and Berea and down to Corinth. And Timothy was probably on his way. I have sent him to you, and he'll get there when he is able to. He not only has not yet arrived, but he may not have been sent with haste. He probably has assignments in these other cities. Probably Paul said, I want you to do this in Philippi, I want you to do this in Thessalonica, I want you to do this in Berea, I want you to give this information to these churches, I want you to represent me there, and then when you get to Corinth, I've got an assignment for you there. And what is that? To assist the Corinthians to become imitators of Paul. Wherefore I urge you, verse 16, imitate me, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's really interesting and highly instructive. He doesn't say Timothy will teach you the ways of Christ. Timothy will teach you the Word of God. Timothy will teach you how a Christian ought to live. All of that's true, and that's going to be the result of all of this. But Paul makes this a very personal relationship, and he keeps reminding them, you've got a special relationship with me. You've got a special responsibility to me. God expects you to follow me. God expects you to listen to me. God expects you to imitate me. God expects you to live the way I tell you to live, which of course is going to teach them to live the way God wants them to live. God expects you to learn the doctrine that I teach you, which of course is going to be the Word of God. But they need to understand that in terms of following Paul in a very close relationship. That's why Timothy was sent, to assist with Paul's goal of helping them to imitate him, to remind them of Paul's ways in Christ, to help them conform to universal Christian patterns of behavior that were modeled by the Apostle Paul. Just as I teach everywhere in every church, Christian doctrine and behavior standardized. He goes on to say that. Verse 17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul's doctrine was to be the same in every church. Paul's description of Christian conduct was to be the same in every church. What I teach you, I teach in all the churches. What I expect you to believe and how I expect you to behave is exactly what I expect all of the churches that I have founded to believe. And I expect the members of all of those churches to behave in this particular way. And what I am teaching in the churches that I found, others are teaching the very same thing in the churches they found. And Timothy is my appointed representative to help you with all of that. And so, listen to him, receive him, follow him, consider what he tells you to be the same as if I were there speaking to you. I, the founder of the church, I, the father of the church. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.